to get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some makeup on it. While I stand up in the background and check up on it.
Hello, it is no more April Fool's Day. It is April 08 for the
Dragons.net podcast. Hello. Hi, it's Sunday. It is 12:30, and we are recording about games and stuff. And we are half a man again because Jew Boy and Dreadlocks are celebrating Horny Bunny Day, otherwise known to the religious folks as Easter. We, however, are pagans, and Tony literally is one. So, Tony!
The internet is for porn.
Porn.
The internet is for porn.
Porn.
Me up all night hugging me horn to porn. Porn. Porn.
Porn. What are you playing?
I am still playing God of War 2.
Ah, have you? You're playing it again?
Yeah. First off, I cleared it. You know, the first time I played it, it was very annoying because I played it on God. and now they give you the option after you clear it to play the Titan mode. Let me just put it this way. I can't do it. I'm not putting myself through any more torture on that. It's ridiculous. Wow. It's cheap as hell. Literally three hits, you're dead, and they're just nonstop and attacking. Like, enemies that you should be kicking the shit out of, they now take their vengeance out on you.
I see. Big time.
You know, so... got a few costumes. Let me ask you something. How many urns did you find?
So far, I only went through it in normal mode.
Oh, okay.
And I found either one or two. I think only one or two. I can't remember exactly how many, but not very many. Jesus, I know there's supposed to be like 69,000 or something.
No, but there's only six. But whatchamacallit? I only found three. Yeah, I only found three, and I'm getting very vexed.
That's weird.
Yeah. I have no way to. Yeah. So that's pretty much it. What are you playing?
Quite a few. I am playing Guitar Hero for the Xbox 360. I sold my PS2 version and got the Xbox version.
Good.
They have more songs.
Of course, and downloadable.
There will be downloadable songs. I don't know when they're going to start hitting the internet yet, but they're supposed to be. It's got leaderboards, so you can like kind of dick wave with your friends and be like, hey, I beat you.
Not that shit again.
And it's just I don't know if you've seen pictures of the guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have.
But compared to the old guitar, it's hit or miss. The new guitar feels better in terms of like it feels like a more solid piece of machinery.
Right.
It's better built. The buttons are more clicky, so they feel more responsive. But the problem is that one is the shape. It's shaped like what's it called? Is it Gibson Explorer? I'm sorry, guitar people. I don't know the name of the guitar, but it's like that little jagged thing that looks cool. But when I actually use it, the corner jabs into my arm, so it like it's kind of annoying to get used to. Yeah, and the separation between the fret buttons, like the little raised piece of plastic, is a little bit higher. So when I try to slide my fingering, it's a little bit harder. It's not that much harder, but it's a little bit. It's noticeable at first, and then you get used to it.
Right.
Otherwise, it's the same thing. I like it. And actually, there's a D-pad on it as well. So that you can navigate the Xbox Live menus, and I found that you can actually play using the D-pad.
God.
So like, if there's some songs that require like really really fast strumming, you could just go crazy on the D-pad instead and press it down instead of actually strumming. So for anybody out there who wants to do crazy stuff, try that. I don't know much about guitars. I don't know if you do, but apparently some guitars have this thing called a kill switch. Which is like this little button that I guess stops the transmission of the sound so that like you can play a long note, and if you press on the kill switch, it'll go like that.
Okay.
So and
I've seen many guitars. I've never seen anything.
Yeah, like I've only seen it once on YouTube or something, and so it's kind of like that if you want to think of it that way. They have this little black button on the side, and like you're like, oh, I could use a D-pad to play. So it's fun to fool around with. Otherwise, it's basically the same game. If you are a PS2 owner and you're in love with your PS2 version of Guitar Hero, I think you could be satisfied with that. But if you really, really want those extra songs and want the online leaderboards, don't keep the old one. Like, there's no reason to keep the old one. shave some money off the top of that thing. There is no online play yet. You can't match up with anybody online just yet, and I'm pretty sure that's because of the internet lag and because of the fact that like it's a rhythm game, so it's very timing intensive.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they'll add that in a later patch, but to be quite frank, if it won't work, I'd rather them not do it.
You know, it's going to be great playing Dead Rising on that guitar. Could it be done? I don't know. I don't care.
I'll play Street Fighter on the guitar. I've also been playing, actually, Ninja Gaiden for Xbox.
Ah, look at that.
Because I was just so happy with God of War 2 that I'm like, you know what, I gotta start it with my action games again.
Right.
And I left off after the first stage in Ninja Gaiden because it's so freaking hard.
Really?
And I came back to it, and it's... I shouldn't jump the gun because I've only been playing it for like 4 hours or so, but...
Right.
As great as God of War is, this is even better for me.
Really? Wow. Okay.
But that's only in my opinion because, like, I like the challenge that it gives me, and it's really hard. It's really kind of old school in the sense that, like, you know, there are no checkpoints. You know, mm-hmm. you fight through some things, and you make a careless mistake, and you die. You start over from your last save.
That's
so
annoying.
It is annoying, but it also, like, usually I don't excuse things like that, but I found myself just trying harder and making sure that I didn't mess up, and... It basically helped me get better at the game.
Because you're a masochist.
Maybe.
That's all it is. Stop it, yeah. Austin.
But, just like, it's so, like, fine-tuned, the action, at least. And, like, I think it's probably one of the, you know, it's probably should be the standard that is followed in terms of action games, in terms of, like, not necessarily difficulty, but... Mm-hmm. You know, maybe not for you because you played it in God mode and then in Titan mode, but for God of War, which is still great fun, you notice that a lot of the lower enemies, you can still just, like, sit there and then just peg away at them, and they're like, duh, and they don't really do anything at you. It's when they come at you in clusters that things get hard. With Ninja Gaiden, a single grunt can kill you because of, like, how good you have... Not how good you have to be, but how careful you have to be when you're fighting them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like every encounter is a serious one, and you take it seriously, and, like, the controls are so tight that, you know, you just kind of have to could be careful around it. So, I mean,
Does that have to do with character AI?
Partially.
I mean, do different things at different times?
Yeah, it's partially AI, I guess, but it's mostly just, like, action and reflexes. So, like, I mean, you just have to be very quick with counterattacking, with blocking, and with you know, kind of rolling out of the way. I wouldn't call the AI great, but I'd call it sufficient. It's not like I said, it's not like God of War's AI where they're just standing around, they go, huh? And then they all gang up on you. Like,
right.
You know, this time the ninjas, they'll, like, kind of surround you and try to sidestep you, and then, like, you know, when you hit them, they block, and you have to... It's very... Somebody described it like a mini fighting game inside an action game in terms of how, like... How careful you have to be when fighting. So, I could kind of see that. But it's beautiful. It sounds great. It looks great. It plays great. And it's basically
it's great.
It's great. Yeah.
It's great.
I'll of course reserve full judgment until I finish the game, which may not be ever because it's so hard.
Right.
But right now I'm gonna call it like one of the best games of last generation. Like along with God of War 2. What else have I been playing? I played,
It better not be Pokemon, and it better not be Kansas.
Nope, not Pokemon. Not Kansas either. I already beat that song. I've been playing, as usual, Twilight Princess, and I'm just kind of enamored with it. Like, I've passed the first three dungeons. I've gotten a super special sword that is common to the series. And, like, before I go on to the... Well, I've already hit the fourth dungeon, but before I went on there, I basically spent the last 3 days at work. When I was at work in the hotel room, I spent those last 3 days just exploring Hyrule Field. Because I think one of my gripes with Ocarina of Time was that Hyrule Field was this one clump of land, and that was it.
Right.
But Hyrule Field in Ocarina is... Sorry, in Twilight is much bigger, and there seems to be... And I could be wrong with the facts, but just the way it feels... There's so much more to do. You could just be running along, and then
you'll see an insect. You'll see a heart container.
Exactly. And you'll just run across stuff to do, and you're like, oh, hey, let me do this. And that's actually what I like about Oblivion, which is the role-playing game for the Xbox 360 and PC. Same way I feel about that is you could be just running along, and then you find something. You're like, hey, let me sidetrack for a second. Let me just jump in here. And then you get lost in that new thing that you're doing. And then you're like, oh, what was I doing again? Oblivion, right, of course, does that to a much larger scale mm-hmm. and does a much worse job of actually directing you, like, to the main storyline, which is not a problem for me. But, like, and they're two totally separate games. Mm-hmm. Actually, I've been playing that as well. But yeah, Zelda, like, that's why I like it so much over Ocarina. I guess, again, my problem was that I didn't play it when it was first out, and so I kind of robbed myself of any magic that Ocarina could have given me, and so, I mean...
Jesus. When do you shower?
When do I shower?
Is that a mid-game?
No, I think, like, last month or something. No, I shower daily. I am very, very anal about keeping clean.
Oh, cool.
You're like, oh, good, good. That's good to know. He's like, that's good to know. You're clean.
You're clean.
Clean. Moving on to the news. We're going to try to blast through some of this. As I always say every week, we're going to try to blast through it. And we never do because I'm slow. But we'll try again anyway. Right. Just talking about Guitar Hero, now there's Rock Band. This is from EA and Harmonix. Harmonix was the developer of Guitar Hero, and now they're not anymore. Activision put Neversoft on it. And so Harmonix is moving on to this thing called Rock Band, which is going to be published by EA with cooperation from MTV. Let's see.
Oh, God.
Harmonix, MTV Networks, and Electronic Arts today officially announced Rock Band. The music-based game will do Guitar Hero 2 better by featuring guitar, drum, and microphone peripherals, proving rock and roll requires more than just someone who can handle the axe. Rock Band is scheduled to be available for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 this holiday season. That's pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Rock Band will feature licensed music, thanks largely in part to its new relationship with MTV. Harmonix was able to They own them. MTV owns them now. Harmonix was able to wrangle multi-track master recordings from the catalogs of some of the biggest record labels in the business. That's cool. Mm-hmm. So they get the master recordings. On board to offer access to their portfolios are EMI Music Publishing, Sony BMG Music Entertainment, Universal Music Group, Hollywood Records, and Warner Chappelle Music. It is currently unknown how much from each music publisher will be available to Harmonix, but the emphasis going forward will be to work with the artists themselves. Okay, so they're using real music. They're not using the cover bands like Guitar Hero did.
This is going to be a whore fest. That's all it's going to be. It's a total whore fest. You know, you start the game, and as soon as you start off, it's going to be like, MTV, home of real world, home of no music. What the fuck? Can I play the game, please? You know? So, yeah, I don't see a lot. The real music on this is good, but that's all paper, you know? How the game plays is what
right.
I'm more interested
right.
in.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah, which makes me think that they had this... pre-made, and maybe they didn't have the finances or the resources to, bring this to fruition.
I'm sure they did, because, I mean, like, I don't know, well, or not necessarily pre-made, but I'm sure they had, like, the designs in the works, like, heavily, because, I mean, that's something that everyone had been clamoring about, and that's kind of, like, the obvious choice, and, like, I guess, I would say that people were surprised that it didn't happen sooner,
right.
But Konami had this thing called Guitar Freaks, which is the same thing except with three buttons instead of five, and it had really lousy, lousy, lousy cover music of really stupid songs, apparently. And then they had this thing called Drummania, and you could actually put the two together. I think this only came out in Japan, so I don't think it came out here. But, you know, so those things came out, and then you kind of wonder, like, well, Guitar Hero's awesome. Why don't they do this already? And I guess here it is. But the thing that they're also adding on is, you know, the whole microphone thing with karaoke.
Right.
So, the question is, Al gets the guitar, which one of us sings?
Oh, God. It's going to be me!
Not me, you want to sing?
La, 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 la.
Well, you are a drummer.
Yeah.
So you could take the drums. I wonder how they're going to do that. That's what I really want to know how they're going to do, because drumming could be really cool if they did it right.
That's going to be tricked, though.
Yeah. There's this game called, go ahead, I'm sorry,
it's just like, this is going to be an expensive proposition if they do it. I think. This game might actually cost $150.
Shit.
Just with all the peripherals and stuff like
that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, the mic, if they make it wireless, that would be cool. If they don't, that would suck, you know? Because people, you know, usually when they sing, they want to go nuts, so a wireless mic would be good.
Right. Or one with, like, a 20-foot cord.
Something like that. And some you won't trip and kill somebody with. But the drum part is pretty tricky. If you're going to make a drum pad, it's gonna go through a lot of wear and tear.
Abuse, yeah.
And that's something. I know I'm more of a finesse drummer, but if
I've
been around drummers. I've been around drummers that pound the shit out of their sets.
Right.
And I never understood how you could play like that. So you could imagine how much abuse this...
it's calorie burn.
Yeah, so this is going to be a very expensive game. If they pull it off well, I think it would be something I would get. This is definitely a group game, which is...
Right.
We need more of those. But other than that, not too excited about, first off, MTV taking over it.
Yeah.
And secondly, EA. Oh, God.
Well,
don't they own?
The thing with MTV is that they actually helped out with the first Guitar Hero. And I think their involvement is solely like, helping to get the music.
Right.
I think they needed it for the first Guitar Hero because Guitar Hero was like a very relatively unknown project.
Right.
And so then like MTV helped them get the music licenses. I'm pretty sure that based on my experience with the first two Guitar Heroes, that there's not going to be too much real world advertising. You know what I mean? Which,
yeah,
although you know, we can all be skeptical and assume that there might be because you never know, they might try to do that. So I'm not gonna be totally hopeful, but you know, I'll be optimistic for once in my life.
Yeah.
There's actually this game called Taiko Drum Master, Taiko Drums, like being the Japanese drums.
Right.
And that was apparently pulled off pretty well, so if they did something similar. But those were only two Taiko drums, and this we're talking about like a whole drum set. Like, will they go the whole nine yards?
Something to simulate it, yeah.
Yeah, will they go the whole nine yards and try to make you do the cymbals and, like, you know, all that shit?
I think they would limit it. Not everybody is that dexterous, and it might make the game not fun. Unless you're like a real drummer.
Moving on!
God.
Ninja Gaiden on DS. There's a preview on 1UP.com, and it's kind of interesting because the director behind the game, or at least the director behind Ninja Gaiden on Xbox, basically chose Xbox because he's like, I love Xbox because it has the most powerful hardware, and I want to work with powerful hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And then he puts Ninja Gaiden on the DS
instead
of the PSP or something else.
Because he wanted a challenge.
Yeah, and that's his basic thing. And I actually admire that. Like, it sounds kind of dumb and cheesy, but, like, I admire that they're like, you know what, let me challenge myself as a developer and see what I can do. And you know, and I'm pretty sure that the fact that the DS is selling so well would, you know, that has something to do with it, and that will definitely pay off. But he was, if what he says is true, he was saying that, like, I've been planning to do a DS game since they first announced it. I didn't know how successful it would be, but I wanted to try something because it looked really cool. And, you know, knowing him and knowing how smooth Ninja Gaiden on Xbox is, you know, I can only just wait in anticipation for this game to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen video of it.
I've seen it.
Okay. The concept, basically, think of God of War sped up a lot and made a lot harder, and try imagine playing that on your DS. With the
stylus.
Yeah, with the stylus. The entire thing with the stylus. It doesn't sound like it would be good, right? Like, it sounds kind of, why the hell would I be doing this? But I saw the footage of him doing it, and it's like, wait, this might work.
Mm-hmm.
Might work. And knowing him, like, knowing his, the way he is really focused on tight controls and polish and stuff, whether or not the games are good that he makes, like, the controls are still tight. So, like, even Dead or Alive 2, 3, and 4. I'm not too fond of the Dead or Alive series, but they play very well. Like, they play tightly because he's very focused on the controls. I will give this the benefit of the doubt and see what this looks like. Maybe it's time for Tony to get a DS.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe not.
Maybe. Maybe. Listen, maybe it's time for me to stop bragging on PSP.
Maybe. let's see. Knights on Wii. Knights, I don't know. Did you ever play Knights on the Saturn?
I did, and I didn't see what was so good about it.
Okay. I played the first level, and I thought it was cool, but I wasn't, like, enraptured by it, so maybe I need to go back to it. But there is a sequel that is officially announced for Nintendo's console earlier last week, and I think like right on April Fool's Day, so people didn't really take it seriously, but it's real, and it's going
I would've.
to It's making sorry. It's making use of the forecast channel.
Yeah.
So great, we'll be able to play nights with weather from yesterday. But according to Antipode, who's not here with us today, Al said that the forecast channel has been getting better. It's been cutting its lag time from 8 hours to 2. So yeah. One can only imagine how this control, but this is just a news tidbit. We can move on. This is great. School bans Pokemon for promoting evolution. Because we all came from flying spaghetti monsters. The Kansas State School Board has banned all things Pokemon from its school. Not because it's keeping kids from doing their schoolwork, but because they claim it promotes evolution. Oh, but wait, it gets better. Teachers will now have to search the students before each class to make sure that they're not in possession of any of 80 bazillion different Pokemon games. If they are, the game will be confiscated permanently, and the student will face punishment that could range from simple suspension to expulsion from school. Mm-hmm. Kicked out of school for Pokemon. The hullabaloo started when a local religious group discovered that evolution is a core element of the Pokemon gameplay and started distributing pamphlets warning about the game's, quote, subversive content in Pokemon. Clearly, we have but one course of action open to us. Send them a truckload of these. And this, they link to a picture of one of the Pokemons with a big red penis. That's hilarious. This was posted on Game Life by Susan Arendt. I can't pronounce her name. What are your thoughts on this? I'm sure you have many.
Those stupid fucking Bible Belt states. I can't fucking stand how ignorant they are. I really can't stand it. Don't ever go to fucking Kansas. Don't go to Iowa. Don't go to Salt Lake City. Please don't go to Salt Lake City. You know? This is totally unconstitutional, first of all. This should be fought all the way to the Supreme Court, and whoever started this should be made to pay restitution, because if you confiscate someone's game permanently, give me a fucking break. Are you serious? Confiscating something permanently because it speaks or depicts something you don't believe in? What the fuck kind of... But what is this world coming to? These are the same assholes that voted for our president.
Now, I take exception to that.
Yeah, you should,
My children play the Pokemon. They like Pokemon. And, yeah.
Is school still out on evolution, President?
Pie. I like cherry pie. And, I ate peanuts, too, but they choked me, so I stopped eating them.
Oh, my God. I mean, listen, correct me if I'm out of line, but even my wife said it, and she has moments of inspiration, right, Pook? Yeah. She says that... isn't church and state supposed to be separate?
That's propaganda. That's propaganda by the Democrats that don't want to pass my bill.
Uh-huh. And, because the Democrats wrote the Constitution yesterday, you know? So, I mean, come on, man. What the fuck is going on in Kansas? Jesus Christ. I don't understand how fucking stupid this is.
Well, I can tell you this. Our founding fathers, our foreskin, said that constitutions are made to be changed by George Walkers, and I'm a George Walker, so I'm going to change it.
Really?
For Pokemon.
Yeah, spell ratified.
R-A-T-5. Zing! Vote for Bush in 08, even though I'm not up for re-election. Moving on.
Resident Evil 4 is going to come to...
this will not entice me. I will not buy it, because I own it on the Game Boy. Wait, actually, it's the...
Wrong console there, buddy.
I mean, yeah, GameCube, sorry. Which is the same fucking system, pretty much. Oh, wow, it's going to have a side mission, which is bonus. Isn't that cool?
Oh, no. Actually, I'm sorry. I must have misled you with that topic. Actually, it's going to be Resident Evil 4, and then there's also going to be another game called Umbrella Chronicles, which will be a side story. No, I'm wrong. It's not even a side story. It's supposed to chronicle the destruction of the Umbrella Corporation in the Resident Evil universe. And it's supposed to be like a... It sounds like it's kind of like a light gun game. In that, like, you know, in the arcades, you play House of the Dead? It's supposed to be kind of like that, I heard.
So, House
I don't know.
Of the Dead.
Now, the thing with Resident Evil 4 is, I'm you know, it's right. Everybody has a right to be skeptical about it because it's like, oh, great, they're freaking porting a game to the Wii that's a GameCube game, and that's actually something I want to talk about later. That's really pissing me off. At the same time, for me, this is like one of the best games of last generation.
Yeah,
and it's going to have a better control scheme because you're going to use the you know the Wiimote for pointing and firing, and I'm all about it. So I will probably...
I'm all up in that.
I'm all up in that, son. So I'll probably get suckered into buying it. And I will buy it, and I'll probably love it. And I'll probably be like, why did I spend $50 on this? Why? Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I'll be like, I'm so glad I spent $50 on this. And then when I'm done with the game, I'll be like, why did I do this? And then I'll go back and play it and say, now I know why I did it. But it's one of those things that I don't want to do, but the idea of it sounds so good that I just want to buy it. It's like them putting Gears of War on the PC, okay? Mm-hmm. If they release that, and when they release that for the PC, I'll buy it all over again, even though I already have it on Xbox, you know?
Right.
Excuse you. Ooh, moving
Bless
on.
Bless you.
Ooh, thank you. No Metroid Prime 3 in June.
No.
No, duh.
Don't say.
And this is something that Antipode found, and what he wants to talk about is, let me read from the GameSpot article just to intro this topic. GameSpot is being very slow. Here we go. Let's see. Newsweek's N-Guy Kroll got a chance to catch up with Reggie Fils-Aimé last month at GDC 2007, and in an interview posted yesterday, asked him the obvious question, where is Metroid? Quote, Metroid is not going to ship by June, said Fils-Aimé, and the fact with Metroid is we want to make sure that this game is perfect. Mm-hmm. Now, you remember last time we were talking about perfect and all that stuff.
Right.
And someone was like, perfect... You know, does that mean online? And he said, oh, that's perfect
that's
for you.
You.
But he's saying this again. You know, and the only reason why I can think that they'd be delaying it so much, well, not, and this is actually Al talking, not me. Mm-hmm. Let's see what he said. Al said, I really think that they're putting online play in among tweaking the gameplay with hopes that more people will buy it. Mm-hmm. Because this is a paragraph he's referencing. Fils-Aimé points out that Metroid Prime 2 Echoes, released on the GameCube in 2004, didn't meet sales expectations, even though it was well-received by critics. We want the sell-through as well as the critical acclaim for Metroid Prime 3 Corruption to be the best in the series, and that's a lofty bar. To do that is taking a little bit more time than we anticipated, but it's coming and it will be great. So I think, Al pointed that out, and I'm starting to think that he's right about it, because they did the same thing for Metroid Prime Hunters on Nintendo DS.
Right.
I don't know if you played that game. Oh, you don't have a DS! Get a DS! But at E3, I think 2005, they showed that game off, and it was looking great. And then they were talking to the developers, and they're like, "So, you know, anything on online play?" And he was like, "No, we don't support online play because we believe, you know, that the camaraderie of having all your people in a room and playing it is more fun than online play." Obviously, that was damage control. And so, even though the game was slated to ship in November, they're like, "You know what? We're going to delay it to add stuff." Yeah, we're just going to delay it. And people are like, "Oh shit!" You know, they're delaying it. Turns out that a couple of months later, they announced, yeah, we delayed it because we wanted to add online play. And so everybody rejoiced. So, you know, this is kind of like a similar path that they're taking. So it doesn't really affect me, but for the sake of people who want online play, this would be nice. This time you get to tell Ethan to buy this game and you could smash him in the face because he doesn't play.
You know what? I'm not even bothering with him anymore. He's a game-playing poser. That's what he is.
A poser. Like, Next news topic. This involves Atari, formerly known as Infograms. I don't know what kind of name Infograms is, but they decided to name it. Bruno Bonnell. Bruno Bonnell, which is a former CEO of Atari, is finished. And here's the news from next-gen.biz. Bruno Bonnell, Atari boss and longtime head of its parent company Infograms, has stepped down. Bonnell was chairman and CEO of the company, which has long been ailing with massive debts and a long series of losses. He founded Infograms in France 24 years ago. The firm has appointed Patrick Lelieux as a replacement. His background is in the telecoms business. Bonnell said, "It is with understandable emotions but also reassurance about the future that I leave Infograms. Time for business developers has logically come after the entrepreneurial period." I'm not going to try to say that word in French.
Entrepreneur.
"It is now time for Infograms to conquer and progress." Bonnell, a chemical engineer, began his career in home computers before founding Infograms at the age of 25. For many years, the company was Europe's most successful games publisher. That's pretty cool, actually.
He really went bald there, didn't he?
The company's troubles began in late 1990s when the firm expanded quickly through acquisitions, including Ocean, Atari, GT Interactive, Accolade, and Gremlin. Wow, I remember all those companies. That's where they all went. Burdened with debt throughout the last 6 years, the firm has been shedding its assets while its share price diminishes. Infogrames rebranded under the Atari name, which is a smart move, but has lost ground to fellow French rival Ubisoft. The funny part is this. After he leaves, following the announcement of the departure of Atari and Infogrames boss Bruno Bonnell, Atari shares surged 11.2% to $3.97 on the Nasdaq stock market. Atari shares rose as high as 12.3% today. Atari and France-based parent Infogrames announced the departure of chairman and CEO Bonnell this morning. That's funny. It's like, I'm going to be leaving to do better for the company, and as soon as he leaves, bam. Which is kind of, it's kind of sad in some ways, though not really. I mean, they have put out some good product, and I'm trying to find all the games that Atari / Infogrames has put out.
Wasn't Turok one of them?
Turok was a claim.
No, I understand, but it was like under Infogrames, didn't it have...
No,
what game am I talking about?
It was always a claim, but that would be a good choice for Infogrames because the game wasn't very good. let's see. Atari published Unreal Tournament 2004. Mm-hmm. I believe it also published Unreal Tournament. It published it published Test Drive Unlimited. excuse you. It published all those Dragon Ball Z games.
That's weird.
It published, what else? It published Earthworm Jim. Oh, no, that's probably going to be canceled now. I was going to say, it's going to publish Earthworm Jim for PSP.
Come on, that should be canceled.
It's supposed to be publishing Alone in the Dark for the Xbox 360 and PS3.
Don't do it!
that actually looks pretty good. They're taking a page out of Resident Evil 4's book. It published Pat Sajak's Lucky Letters.
Yay! Wow.
Test Drive Unlimited, Dragon Ball Z... looks like it published Baldur's Gate, Driver, it published Mark Echo's Getting Up because he slaved to the code, published Civilization, it published the Matrix games, it published Indigo Prophecy, which was a great game, published some Neverwinter Nights games, so it's published some, like, along with all the shit that it's published, it published its own mix of good games, one only wonders why it's been tanking, but I guess they have their arms spread out too far, and,
Well, one of them is they bought Ocean. You know.
Yeah.
Great maker of RoboCop.
They also made Lethal Weapon 3 for the Super Nintendo.
Oh,
boy. Oh, they also published Roller Coaster Tycoon 3.
Oh, okay.
They published Roller Coaster Tycoon 3, and they're tanking.
They published 2.
And 2.
Well.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, oh, well. One last piece of business and one last piece of news before we move on to our main topics. Ousted Take-Two CEO Paul Abler gets mad cash for being fired.
This is
just funny. Okay, as people may or may not know, Take-Two ousted its CEO. Now, here's this news article from Kotaku. When a group of upstart Take-Two stockholders ousted the company's CEO, Paul Abler, it looked like they had the last laugh. Well, they probably forgot to take a look at Abler's separation agreement. According to the rules of the agreement, which come into place if he is fired, Abler doesn't just get a golden parachute, he gets a platinum one. Here's a rundown of what he gets for being fired. $2,475 in severance pay. Immediate vesting of stock options and shares, which includes 100,000 shares of restricted stock. Options to purchase 450,000 shares at $21.28, and options to purchase 75,000 shares at $19.89. Accrued but unpaid base salary and vacation and unpaid expenses through his last days at the company. A job as a consultant for the company through October 4th, 2007, paying $50,000 a month. No change in his healthcare benefits through his consultancy. And finally, an $800 a month car allowance through his consultancy. Who did he draw up this agreement with?
I don't know, but let me tell you something. If I was him, I would look forward to getting fired. I would actually come in to work with my dick hanging out my pants, hoping that somebody will fire me.
Swing, 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 swing,
hey,
oh, sweet chariot, coming forth to spurring me home. Swing, wang.
But listen, we got to talk about our business production and our stock. Yeah, I don't think I want to do that right now.
Spring. Did you see American Beauty?
Yeah.
When Kevin Spacey walks out with his box and he's pumping his fist, that's kind of what he's got like. He's like, yes!
Yes! Fuck all y'all.
Exactly.
For 2 million, Jesus Christ. He's, 2 million
yeah.
in severance.
He's going to get all that pay. He's going to work for them for like a year, and then he's going to go off and work for like Burger King at a drive-thru or something.
Yeah, sure.
But continue.
He'll be that poor by then. Oh, my God.
No, just because he wants to.
That's a sweet deal, dude.
I'd like to get fired for that severance pay.
Yeah.
Shit, if I got fired for
I'm
that severance pay,
man.
I'd put like 1.4 of that million in like the bank and then buy a house and then just kind of like live cheaply and just live off of that.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
like buy.
Either that or you go to your home country of Guatemala.
Guatemala. Guatemala. I come from the Guatemala. Yeah, that meant nothing. I am sorry. I apologize for that. Moving on to things. So our topic, our short topic for today is discussing the, in my opinion, the sorry state of the Wii's lineup coming later this year and what's been passed from launch until now. Tony, can you name any high-profile Wii game that you are really looking forward to or that you really enjoyed buying in the past 4 months or the next 8 months?
Wow, let me see.
And virtual console not included.
Well, I don't buy any.
Oh, okay.
I pretty much boycotted that ever since they put Urban Champion on there. So, I would say, what did I? Oh, you know what I'm looking forward to? Twilight Princess. Oh wait, I got that. Oh, what? There's more games coming for the system.
Yeah.
I thought they were just, gonna put more weather channels on it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm gonna run down through the list of stuff of major games that are releasing. And this is a lot of these, bear in mind, will be to be announced. And this is a list from GameSpot's release list. Coming on April 9th, and this is like definitely a great release that I'm definitely going to jump on, Super Paper Mario, April 9th. Awesome. And then next is Scroll.
Bravo
scroll,
Man? No!
Scroll.
Jesus Christ.
Legend of the Dragon, based on a cartoon. Uh-huh. Spider-Man 3, okay. Mortal Kombat Armageddon, that's already out for PS2 and Xbox. Escape from Bug Island, I've heard such horrible things about. Such horrible
that's
things.
That must be, virtual. Is that virtual or Wii?
It's for Wii. It's a Japanese survival horror game, which was supposedly terrible. Mario Party 8, which at first I would laugh at, but at the same time, I could see good things coming out of this with the Wii controller. So I'll give this a pass. Even though it has number 8, it really should be only 5 because they come out with these things every year.
Right.
Let's see what else.
I didn't know 7 left so much to be desired.
Yeah. The 4 was good, and then 5, 6, and 7 was just like, okay, they're putting them out every year. Project HAMMER, which looks really fun, but we've heard nothing about. Sadness, which is to be announced 2007, which we've heard nothing about from a company that's basically been touting, you know, all the stuff that they've been doing, and all they have to show for it for the past 2 years is one promo video for a DS game, and then like a live action promo video for this Sadness game. Metroid Prime 3 Corruption, awesome. We don't know when it's coming. Mm-mm. Fire Emblem God of Dawn, awesome game. Could be on the Game Boy Advance too. We don't know when it's coming. Scarface, The World is Yours, already came out on the PS2, Xbox, and PSP? No, maybe, I don't know. Big Brain Academy? Maybe, okay, people who enjoy the DS game may enjoy this. This is May we're talking about. Now we're moving on to past May.
That was June, actually.
We're in June, okay. Transformers the game, great. Resident Evil 4, the Wii edition, okay. Alien Syndrome, which is another port of a PSP game. Ratatouille? Okay.
Ratatouille!
Driver, Parallel Lines, which is another port of a PS2 Xbox game. Moving... Dragon Quest Swords. Okay, fine. I'll get into that. Guilty Gear XX Accent Core. We've heard nothing about... Manhunt 2? Disaster Day of Crisis? We've heard nothing about that. Dewey's Adventure, which I'll say okay, I'll buy that. Mario Strikers Charged Q3 2007. Okay, which
I'd
is
have to buy that.
I definitely have to buy that as well. It's the second game online for Wii.
Wii.
There's Knights, Wii Music Orchestra, which is still to be announced. Harvest Moon, Super Mario Galaxy, which is definitely going to be great. But when's that coming? We don't know.
Right.
It just goes to show, and people are going to be some people are going to be sitting here thinking that I'm reading off a list of all these great games, and they're not. There's freaking Harvest Moon, which is fine. Mario Galaxy, which is fine. Metroid Prime, which is fine, and like a couple of other games that I mentioned, which are fine.
Right.
Some of them are like, yeah, okay, they're okay games. Do you want to buy a system for that game?
Mm-mm.
Do you really want to invest your time in that game when you could be spending your time on Mass Effect? BioShock.
Hey, listen.
What's up?
I am definitely looking forward to buying Jisenpachi Slap Pachinko. Sammy's Collection Hakuto no Ken Wii. What?
Hakuto
no Ken. It's a long fucking title. What kind of bullshit is this? This is what I bought the system for?
I know.
God damn it. You called it, dude. You called it right away before we even got the You called it. You said there's going to be, you know, these great games, Twilight Princess, you know, you buy that. Maybe Red Steel and stuff.
Which was
terrible. Which was
terrible.
Yeah. But after that, it's going to be a drought. And you called it right away. You called it like nobody ever called anything before. And, so, hey, listen, this is the drought. And this is what we're going to have to deal with. And unfortunately, you're going to have to see a whole bunch of shit before you finally get to something like a paper mount.
Yeah, and that's my whole thing. That's my whole problem with it. Like, I'm fine with like one game a season or two games a season, but it's not even that. Like, we don't know when Metroid Prime is coming. We don't know when Mario Galaxy is coming. It's like, for example, okay, the Xbox 360 has had releases like since the January drought. It's had like Def Jam Icon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, I'm not gonna really harp on that because that doesn't really interest me. But let's say one of the big hitters is NBA Street Home Court, and then there's always the Tom Clancy games, okay? And then there was there's the Oblivion expansion pack, and then there's freaking Guitar Hero 2, and then there's which is not just a simple port, like they actually took advantage of the system. And then there's freaking what else is coming out? Virtual Fighter 5 is coming in June. BioShock is coming a little bit after June. Mass Effect is coming sometime this year. There are three big hitters right there that we know are coming out soon, or at least we have a time frame. Mario Galaxy is still to be announced. Metroid Prime is still to be announced. And Metroid Prime could creep into 2008 if they're not careful enough. Okay? So what are we left with? One of the letters that we got was talking about, like, you know, Mario Strikers. Okay, I'll buy that, but at the same time, it's like it's a cube game.
Yeah.
And then we've got Prince of Persia, Rival Swords, which was released last week, which is a port of a PSP game, which is probably
it's not a direct port, right? It's they're utilizing the handle.
They are, but like I've heard reports that it doesn't do it too well.
Oh Jesus!
But besides that,
Christ,
like besides that, it's like the same exact game as the GameCube version, which costs $20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Basically, it's like all these things that are coming out just they don't instill like this sense of, you know, wow, I got to get that. They don't instill that sense of, you know, urgency in me. Like, I don't care about those games. They don't interest me because, you know, they're ports of last generation games, which are clearly done to take advantage of the sales that the Wii is enjoying. I mean, you take a look at Guitar Hero for the Xbox 360.
Right.
They actually substantially did some stuff to that. Okay, and so that's a port, but that's a game that like everyone should have. That's a port that if Guitar Hero 2 was coming to the Wii, that's a port that I'd be like, sure, great, bring it on. But not Prince of Persia Rival Swords, okay? Mm-hmm. Because Prince of Persia already existed on the GameCube. And the whole fact that they're basically taking all these PS2 games and saying, okay, let's just slap some stuff on it and then, you know, give it to Wii owners and then call it special. I mean, what's the deal? I mean, what is... Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't want
No, I was done. Go ahead.
I feel the same way about the Virtual Console. I mean, you have literally millions. They're a clearing house of their own games. And they have millions more, you know, on the ready from anywhere from Genesis to TurboGrafx stuff. And, you know, just other games that they could purchase too. And what are we left with? Bravo Man? Did you ever fucking play Bravo Man? Did you ever even hear of it?
I've heard of it. I don't want to play it.
Okay, dude. Essentially, every time you attack, the guy goes,
Bravo!
Bravo! Bravo! Bravo! Okay, do that about 100,000 times, and let me know if your Wii console is not going to be broken.
Well,
okay?
I will say this. I will say this. I've downloaded a lot of Virtual Console games, and they're all games that I really enjoy. Okay. Solomon's Key was awesome.
I like that.
Kirby's Adventure is a really good game. I never got to play it when it was out on the NES because by that time I had moved on to the Super Nintendo and I sold my NES.
Right.
What else is there? A Link to the Past.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking my favorite Zelda game of all time. Okay. Ocarina of Time. Mario 64. Mm-hmm. Not play it on the D-pad on the DS, goddammit. Gunstar Heroes. There's always bonks. I mean, there's some great games on the Virtual Console. The problem is that they're leaking them out slowly, so some people are getting impatient. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like I said, the Virtual Console's great, but the thing is, I didn't buy the system to play older games.
But a Virtual Console.
I bought the system with the benefit that, hey, I also get to enjoy these, but that's not what I want to be, you know, playing the system mainly for. I want to be playing it for, like...
It's made for the system.
Yeah, like, I want to see Disaster, Day of Crisis, and Project Hammer come out. I want to see them come out, and I want to see release dates for them. You know, I want to see, I want to see what Nintendo can do with this console because they haven't been like this was the same problem that plagued DS in its first year of its life. It put out Mario 64 at launch and that's it. And so what that did to third parties is like, well, if Nintendo can't even do something radical with their own touchscreen system, then what do they expect us to do? And so they came out with Spider-Man 2, which you could touch the screen and choose weapons. And then they came out with like. What was the other Nintendo game that came out with it? Pokemon Dash, which was basically just a racing game that you just scraped on the touchscreen to get your Pokemon to roll.
Boo.
Okay, and then like Ridge Racer DS, which was like a mockery of life. Okay, and it was just like it did take a whole 10 months before.
Right.
Kirby's Canvas Crush was a great game, but that was like an oasis in a desert. You know, there was like shit. WarioWare touched Yoshi's Touch and Go. Shit. Kirby's Canvas Curse. Shit. Meteos. Shit. And then the big stuff hit.
Right.
So now what we're seeing is Twilight Princess, Elebits, Metal Slug Anthology. Shit. Oh, and Trauma Center. I'm sorry. Shit. WarioWare Smooth Moves. Shit. Super Paper Mario.
Shit.
Mario Galaxy and Metroid Prime 3.
Right.
I mean, yes, SSX Blur. Okay, fine. But again, that's a last-gen game with like remote stuff slapped onto it. I actually bought it on discount, and when it comes in the mail, I'll give it a shot. I'm not going to totally prejudge it, but like first impressions is like they're taking all these old things and just like, you know, porting them over and slapping things onto it. They're not making new and improved properties. SSX Blur is a compilation of all the old tracks with like one or two new ones. That's my point exactly. I mean, and part of this has to do with the way that developers are treating the system as well. I mean, developers and publishers. Obviously, the thing is making money, and porting a PS2 game over to the Wii and spending minimal amounts of time on it is a great way to make a lot of money because people are going to be like, oh my god, I never got to play Manhunt on a Nintendo system before. I'm going to get this. Oh no. But where are the big hitters? And again, why do I keep on coming at to Metroid and Mario? Why can't there be another big hitter that we haven't heard of? You know, they keep on falling back on that. Where is the new stuff? Where is the interesting stuff? I mean, where is my newfangled RPG that makes crazy use of the controller? Where is my point-and-click adventure that totally revolutionizes the way that genre is played? Where is all this stuff? It's no announcement. No, it's nowhere to be seen. Nowhere to be heard. And
I'll tell you where it is.
In the shitter.
Bravo!
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 It's just disappointing, and I thought that, you know, I would say that I thought Nintendo might have learned from their past mistakes, but actually, this is a staunch indication that they are, because they're letting these third parties do this. And it's a catch-22.
Yep.
It's like, with the N64 era, they were like, oh, we're going to put this dream team of developers together to make great Nintendo 64 games. And other developers were like, dude, what about us?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Fine, screw you, we're going to develop for Sony, okay? And then Nintendo tried to get it on with the GameCube, but it didn't really sell too well. Now that they have third parties eating out of their hands, you know, if they go to them and say, hey, look, can you just not make Scarface for the system because we want new stuff? Like, don't make it. We don't want you to make it. They're going to be like, dude, we're doing you a favor. You guys have had shitty third-party support for the past two generations, and now we're coming to your aid. And you want us? You want to piss us off? Well, screw you. We're gonna go back to the Xbox. And then they're in the red again. So they kind of have to sit there and take their lumps and take Scarface again and take Manhunt again and take SSX again because, you know, they're taking what they can getting. What they can getting. Wow, good English. They're taking what they can getting. You know, they're taking what they can get, and it's just like. You know, they're kind of in a rut there. So if they're going to be in a rut, why don't they come out with their own great stuff? You know, why can't they pump it out? They've got enough development houses to give us something once every month that is significant.
Yeah,
bravo.
That would only be perfect for you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Reggie. I mean, let's put it this way, and like people are going to come to me and tell me that, oh, Microsoft hasn't come out with anything every 3 months. That's because they're coming out with great third-party titles, all right? Mm-hmm. What I'm talking about is Nintendo's system has always been strong with their own first-party titles. But traditionally, their own first-party titles have always been lagging and coming out. They've only come out once every, like, 3, 4, or 5 months. Mm-hmm. The really great titles, okay? And that's continuing here. With the third parties, now it's good that the third parties are putting shit on the system. At the very least, is giving variety. But, like, is this what we want out of the next generation? And if they're going to not follow through with their, you know, with good games, then Nintendo needs to step up.
Uh-huh.
And they're not. To me, they're not. But, like, I don't know. Maybe, hopefully, they'll prove me wrong come August. Maybe there'll be some great stuff. It's the same thing that happened with the DS. And I got to admit, this is better than the DS situation because Zelda is a great game. One of the finest games I've ever played, okay? Mm-hmm. The DS didn't have that. WarioWare Smooth Moves is light years better than WarioWare Touched. Mm-hmm. And they are having third-party ports of good games. And, like, Prince of Persia... It's a great game no matter what system you play it on. And it's just my gripe that it's coming out for $50 when you can get the GameCube version for $20. You know, that's my only gripe about it. But yes, it is a good game. If people have been starved, if the Wii is someone's only console and they've never owned a GameCube before, never owned anything before, they're fine. Mm-hmm. They're set. But you and I have. You and I have PS2s. You and I have computers. We have other systems. Yep. And it's just, it's troubling to see this lineup is just kind of dwindling, you know? And
Seriously, I haven't touched my Wii. I haven't touched it. I haven't touched my Wii. That's not
avoiding
funny.
Joke. Avoiding joke. Avoiding joke.
Too easy. No, serious. I just haven't done. What kind of system do you buy that you actually look forward to playing games that were on the previous system? That sucks. It's like
PlayStation 3.
Actually, no. To be fair, but go on. Yeah. I'm going to talk about. Remind me that I'm going to say something about PS3. Go on.
Sure, no problem. You know, I pretty much bought the system for Zelda, and so I could play Pikmin 1 and 2, and Resident Evil 4. But now they're releasing Resident Evil 4 again.
Yeah.
You're right, this sucks. I'm not looking forward to that, and I'm not going to buy the Resident Evil 4 for the Wii.
I will.
Just on.
I will,
just
and
on
I'll let you. I'll lend it to you.
Also, like, did you realize that the difference between the Twilight Princess version on the Wii, as compared to the game one?
It is the same. The only difference is the controls, and you can play the Wii version in widescreen, which is pretty cool.
Also,
they flipped the world.
I believe this is true. Link on the Wii
is right-handed, and on the GameCube he's left-handed.
Yeah,
they did that. I don't
know. I know why they did it. Okay. Because most people are right-handed, and they wanted to use that part of Wii remote handles for the sword, okay? But at the same token, left-handed Link has always... Well, he's always been left-handed, hasn't he?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So the GameCube version was better.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
It's more authentic. Oh. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. But, what was I saying about the PS3? And I could say the same about the PS3 because it'd be an easy target, but at the same time, even though all of its games are Xbox 360 ports, if all you have is a PS3, you're getting great games.
Mm-hmm.
If all you have is a Wii, you're getting great games from last generation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the differentiator.
Yep.
And finally, I'd just like to say, and this is actually going to be in a question that's coming up on the mailbag.
Mailbag!
Wii is capable of much more than it's doing right now, and it's really sad to see developers doing what they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's really sad.
I haven't seen anything really, really impressive.
Oh, you're not going to see anything that's impressive once you've seen something on an Xbox, or you have a good PC now, so you've seen impressive stuff. You're not.
Well, no. Yeah. I'm talking within the capability.
Oh, okay.
You know,
right.
I haven't seen anything impressive. You know, I know that you swear by you know, Twilight Princess, stuff like that. But to me, I think it could have been a much more polished game.
It really could have been, but the game was practically finished by the time they put it on Wii. That's why.
Yeah.
I mean, it was already done.
Mm-hmm.
Not done, but like it was already on game. It was already getting ready for GameCube, and like to spend any more time on that than they would have. I can understand from a business standpoint why they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And while it doesn't look next gen, it still looks beautiful, you know.
Right.
But like it's like God of War. God of War looks beautiful.
Right.
But let's get off the weaning, the whining, and move to our
mailbag.
Mailbag. Let's see if this hasn't timed out on me yet.
Bag of mail.
Bags of mails. Many mails in a bag. Oh, it hasn't timed out.
I love mailbag. This is my favorite part of the day.
Our favorite part is getting to interact with you, the listeners.
Yay.
Here we go. And here's someone from Clearly who either didn't get it or just is weird. Okay. And sorry, buddy. I know you have good intentions, but dude, come on. This is from Digimatrix. Hey, guys. Oh, you guys are reading too much into this, and this is regarding the Jack Thompson email. You guys are reading too much into this. It's not legit, and you guys should not get worked up over it. What happened with the constant bleeping at around 29 minutes? LOL. Keep on doing the good work, and do not devote 20 minutes to Jack Thompson next time. This is exactly what he wants. Jack Thompson doesn't listen to this thing, first of all. Second of all, I believe you listened to the whole podcast, and it was a joke. Like, it was a joke. I mean, we clearly said that, you know, April Fools. Well, Ethan did.
Yeah, well.
And
well, actually, no, you actually said...
Well, I said, like, I said the next time
we'll
should...
have to draft the letter better,
right, and then
so
Ethan
that Tony will believe.
Yeah, and then Ethan went, April Fools, bitch.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the whole reason why we spent so much time in it. And I know you commented on my GameSpot blog later and said that, yes, I knew it was a joke, I didn't want to give it away. You know, I totally understand that. But, like, the whole time spent on it, the whole getting worked up over it, that's the entire joke.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe next time we should ruin our April Fool's podcast by saying this is a joke. Please do not read too much into it because we're not. Next question.
Maybe he felt bad for me.
Maybe. Question from and long lost Happy Cloud. We haven't heard from him in years.
Happy Cloud.
Why, hello, TriGames team. It's happy_cloud. Yay! I am completely and utterly ashamed of myself, however, to the point where I've been forced to break all the mirrors and other reflective surfaces in my house, as I can't bear to look at myself. What's that? Why? Oh, well, you see, I've been neglecting to send in my question. I know it's a hateful offense, but don't worry, I'll make it up to you, because I'll be asking two questions today. Oh, you shouldn't break mirrors. That's bad luck, man. We don't mind.
Yeah.
But thank you for your questions. Okay, here are two questions. One's gaming-related, one's not. One, do you own any game merchandise? And by that I mean things like action figures, books, soundtracks, you know, nerdy stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, what do you think I am, a fucking geek?
Yeah.
No, actually, I didn't, I don't have memorabilia here. I just like games.
I gotcha.
Why play with, like, an action figure when you play animated
games? Because I have Kung Fu Chop Suey action. You press button,
no,
he chop thing.
What about you, Austin?
I have game soundtracks, because I like game music. I have the Oblivion soundtrack, I have the Morrowind soundtrack, I have, like, a couple of Final Fantasy ones, and, you know, I basically, yeah, that's all I have, though. I don't have, like, swords or shit. I don't collect that stuff.
Oh, God.
I do have, like, well, from the Wii launch in the Nintendo store, people online got this little, like, Mario Yoshi plush doll, if that counts, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I got a Dreamcast shirt.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
That counts.
Still wrapped. I didn't even open it. Yeah.
I guess that counts. But yeah, that's all. I mean, like, I don't think either of us are really into the rest of the merchandise. Like, things that we can actually use, like a t-shirt or a soundtrack, I would get.
Right.
But,
right,
you know, just toys and stuff, I'll leave it to the games. I don't know if Ethan or Al has any. I'll let them answer this next week.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure Al does.
He might have something from, like, a special pack-in for a game. I don't know.
Legend of Zelda Dildo.
Oh! Question two. And this is a funny one. This doesn't relate to games, but rather life in general. Do you think that the saying, a smile never goes out of style, is one we should live by?
Wow.
That is. Do you have an answer?
Powerful. Listen, whatever drug he's on, wow, that is some powerful shit. That is really, really deep, Happy.
Well, he is a happy cloud.
Happy Cloud is a little bit too happy. A smile never goes out of style. I think it does when you're smiling and being tortured.
Like in Casino Royale.
It does. Yeah, I think it does. I think a smile does go out of style when, you know, someone who's raping you is constantly smiling. Yeah, I think it goes out of style then. I don't know. What do you think?
In those instances, yes, I'd agree with you. But, like, if I'm going to be serious for a second,
right.
That is a good saying. I mean, like,
yeah.
And the reason why I'm even giving this the light of day is because we live in New York where people don't smile.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice once in a while to buy a game and smile at the cashier and let them know that they're doing a good job. Because fucking, did you ever see Waiting, this movie called Waiting with Ryan Reynolds?
No. I've heard that shit.
Bad things? That shit is hilarious.
Well, no, I've heard bad things. Doesn't mean I necessarily believe
them. No, I'm saying those bad things. Who said these bad things? I must kill them.
Unfortunately, they're critics.
Critics are idiots. They know nothing. They slighted the Ninja Turtles movie, man. That movie was awesome. It was awesome. Sorry. It was fun. But Waiting is all about the service industry, and it's all packed into this like really, really vulgar comedy. And mm-hmm. basically, if I am going to be at a restaurant, I will smile my ass off at the waiter.
Oh, you better.
Because I do not want him to spit in my food.
Mm-hmm.
But also at the same time, like, with my parents having managed and owned a chain of Chinese restaurants, like, you know, seeing the how hard it is and how asshole-y customers can mm-hmm. be, like, mm-hmm. it's nice to just let someone know that they're doing a good job. And you can do that with a smile. But that's enough of that. Let's move on. This is a podcast about games.
It's nice to have a philosophical discussion every once in a while.
Wah, wah, wah. There's a question from...
really, Happy Cloud. Get it. Go to AA. I mean, do something.
Here is the happiest clown. Happiest cloud. Next, a comment from Riven. And this is a long one, but like usually has good answers. So... Uh-huh. Hey guys, sorry no audio response this week. I just didn't have the time. Believe me, I wish I did because I have to write this on my work computer now to make sure you have it on time for your recording, and my boss spilled coffee on the keyboard a while back. Since then, the space bar hasn't worked properly, and so I have to copy a random space and paste it each time.
Are you serious?
Oh man, and the control keys don't work either, so it's right click and paste each freaking time, seriously.
Oh my god.
Anyway, not much of a response because you guys were spot on again about reviewers providing a service and thus doing their readers a disservice by allowing things like a score change to happen. If you remember last week, he asked right. about the whole Shenmue score changing.
Mm-hmm.
There was something similar that happened over at GameSpy where the review of Donkey Konga 2 was edited to increase the score and even the text of the review into a more positive final outcome than the original reviewer wanted or intended. After that reviewer complained, the review was pulled down, but it begs the question of how much this type of thing goes on that we don't hear about. Mm. It's really made me stop trusting big-name gaming sites for reviews. Personally, I don't even like numerical scores, so I try to steer more to sites that give a real critical review of a game by just honestly expressing their feelings and experience with it, such as Penny Arcade. The only problem with that is it's not structured enough to allow the reader to know that any game he or she may be interested in will be talked about on or before release. Smaller independent sites face such problems, but it's more of not having the time to invest due to the lack of actual paycheck. And they just don't get review copies of all the games that big-name sites get. Gaming journalism in general seems to be in some dire straits right now, and I'm kind of hoping that numerical scores are done away with entirely, and that journalists focus more on feature stories, interviews, etc. It would still be nice to hear a reviewer's true critical thoughts in a game, but in a this-was-my-experience kind of way. I think that once digital distribution does inevitably take over the majority of content delivery, it would be nice if every digital channel had the built-in ability for user reviews and user ratings if need be. I'd rather take the opinions of the masses into consideration than the opinion of one potentially controlled reviewer. Even now, I try to get as many opinions as possible, professional or otherwise, before making a purchase decision. What are your thoughts, and what do you think on gaming commerce? What do you think gaming commerce would actually work in a YouTube-type environment? Oh, and Shenmue deserved it 6.8.
Jesus, that's a long-winded question.
Yeah, let me get to the let's get to the question after I just touch on this. I actually tried to eliminate scores on our site. We used to have 5.5, 5.75, 6.0. It was just dumb. And I totally agree with you. I was sick of scores, and I think that they ruin kind of what reviewing a game should be about, to me. And so we got rid of it. Yeah, we got rid of it for a long time.
With purple squares.
Yeah, we got rid of it for a long time. But I got the feeling that people really didn't care about what we had to say, and like they just wanted to have some kind of quantification to give us an overall view of, okay, you've said all this, so in a blink of an eye, what would you say this game is? So I'm like, okay, fine. So I changed it to an out of five box system.
Right.
Out of five, not as a numerical thing, but just like, you know, five is something that, like, you know, I absolutely think you must play. Four is a great game. Three is, you know, depends. You know, if you like the genre or if you feel like renting it, you go ahead. Two is a bad game. One is a
legendarily awful.
Two would be a bad game, but could appeal to some people, like if they were huge fans. Like, I gave the 24 game a 2 because as a 24 fan, I had to have it. And it did some things. I hate to say this, it did some things right, but whatever.
Yeah. And I gave Family Guy a 1. Yeah.
One is bad, and then zero is like just pretty much the bottom of the barrel. Zero is reserved for like budget titles and things that are just like terrible. But like, yeah, I mean, I totally wanted to move that way. You know, if I had to put any numerical system, I did that because it's not like, oh, 77%. You know, what the hell makes a game a 77 versus a 76? Come on.
Yeah, it's true.
But to
and what makes it a 8.125 and not a 8.1?
But yeah, so his question, I'd rather take the opinions of the masses into consideration rather than the opinion of one potentially controlled reviewer. What are your thoughts, and do you think gaming commerce could actually work in a YouTube-type environment? So that's his main question. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first off, instead of, you know, right-click Pete, it works just as well as right-click and then go into paste. You could do it, dude. I feel your pain. actually, when it comes to the grading system, I prefer the body part system, which is if it's good, it gets like two huge knockers. The game is ass, it gets ass. balls is middle of the road. You know, small dick.
oh my goodness! Wow.
I'll not go on, but would it work in a YouTube environment?
And I think by that he means like a whole the masses subjecting their giving their opinions. That's what he means to clarify.
Well, I would love someone to take the time and poll different sites and then give them a consensus of like you know what percentage of reviewers gave this you know, this whatever type of rating.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, based on that, you say, okay, I've played this and stuff like that, but rather than letting my voice be the one and only, here's what this other site said. And you could, like, put a quote in there from them, and that becomes part of your review as well. I think that's a little more trust. I think if that's what he's looking for, then, you know, in an ideal world, I would love that, but he's got the time.
Right. I think the other problem with that is we see this from player reviews and reader reviews. Mm-hmm. If you go to GameSpot or 1UP or IGN, they all have their reader reviews sections.
Mm-hmm.
And who said this best? I think Tommy Lee Jones, playing K in Men in Black, said it best.
Oh, yeah,
a person is smart. People are dumb, stupid animals.
Stupid. Yeah.
The masses, like, and I'm not trying to you know, to criticize any one person, but it's just I don't have faith in people in general. When you talk about the masses, especially with gaming, you will know. I mean, here's a bottom line. 50 Cent Bulletproof is a million seller. I mean, and that basically says enough about how I think a YouTube environment would work. Now, if you're talking about like you submit your review and someone like recommends or de-recommends it, which is kind of like what GameSpot does, that could still work, but. Again, GameSpot already has its own problems, and so does IGN and 1UP, where there's so many reviews on a game that most of them are like, oh my god, I like this game so much, dot, 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 oh my fucking god, this game is so great, I love it, and it has great graphics, and it's great. There's so many of them that who has time to sift through them to get to the
right.
the ones
to
that
get to
now,
the one who actually played it in its entirety, and it's not based in this just because of the popularity.
Right. Now there could be a difference in that, like, the most recommended reviews get filtered to the top, but how many people are actually going to sit through so many and find that good review and then recommend it? That's the only problem. It's not that I disagree with your idea. It's that I want it to happen, and it's really hard for it to happen because of the way that people are. And the other problem is that you'll get the masses reviewing things. You'll inostensibly find the most reviews going to Madden or going to Grand Theft Auto, and there's this one niche game that could be a great game that doesn't get too many reviews from the masses that you won't find anything on, and that's the only problem. Now, actually, this should be a good thing. Maybe the only people who review that niche game are the hardcore gamers who understand that game and know how to review games. Then that could be good, actually. So maybe that's a you know, a silver lining, but. That's a good idea. I wish that, you know, we could get a system working that promoted normal people's thoughts that were well-worded. And I guess that's what we're trying to do here at Try Games. I mean, we're not professionals. None of us are professionals. All of our reviews, you know, are just people, but we make sure that they're written well.
I don't even know how to spell professional.
And here's another comment from Riven right after this question.
Sure.
I forgot a few things I wanted to say in my last message. I wanted to say that April Fool's joke was awesome. The whole time you guys were going on about Jack Thompson, I was preparing myself for you all to scream into your mic something along the lines of, "April Fool's, bitches!" At no point did I suspect that Tony was not in on it, and after the bombshell dropped, I ended up having to rewind the podcast about 5 minutes to re-listen to what I missed from laughing so hard. It was just absolutely brilliant. Oh, Tony, here's your opportunity to totally bash this guy. Tony's backlash, on the other hand, not so brilliant. Is his wife's middle name Les? Just kidding, you're awesome, Tony. Thanks for the great laugh, guys. He just insulted your wife, dude.
That's okay. Everybody knows. No. I actually thought that was quite funny. That was pathetic. And, yeah, it was a spur-of-the-moment thing. Actually, I had something like that planned, but I didn't, like, do it as soon as we started. Probably would have worked out.
I will be honest with you. I would have believed that. Not for any good reasons either.
Right.
Because no one ever wants to, you know, at health problems. But, like, I would have believed it, and then I would have been like, dude, guys, let's stop. And then you would have totally gotten me. But
But then again, when it happens for real, I'm shit out of luck. Oh, Tony, you're such a kidder.
No,
Tony.
I'm not. Tony. I also wanted to thank you guys for plugging me. I'll still be doing the same for you guys each episode, and I hope we are successfully passing around a listener base like a couple of cheap whores. I will say, everybody who's listening to this, I have listened to Riven's podcast. He does a good job. Riven, I will say that you probably need a couple more participants so that you can, like, banter back and forth and get other views, only because I don't know how many people would listen to just one person. Not because that one person is bad, but because people are fickle, and people don't like to listen to things unless there's conversation. So,
variety.
Yeah, if you could find someone, then, like, totally, it would be great. I think it's good right now. I think people should give it a listen. And you can find his podcast at Game Slaves Radio. Just search Google for Game Slaves Radio, and his homepage is under his name, G.S. Riven. You can also find Game Slaves Radio on iTunes, which... a promo that I totally messed up last week because I couldn't talk.
Right.
Let's see. More mailbag letters. Blah, 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 blah. One last one from Slunks, which I found after much searching. I put it into the wrong inbox. and he just IN'd me because I asked him to send me the letter again because I lost it, but I found it. Do not disturb. Hid your message. No problem, Slunks. Slunks is on the air. On the air. Say something stupid. Before we finish recording. But yes, his question... Sweet, he says.
Oh, guess that was stupid enough.
Say,
Oh, boy.
He's typing something. Wow!
Question.
I'm drawing a blank! Sweet, say, wow, I'm drawing a blank. Okay, while we wait for him, we'll read his question off. Seriously, guys, one of the greatest podcast episodes yet. You even had me fooled the entire time, as I never even realized it was all an April Fool's prank until you revealed it. I almost felt sorry for Tony. Hilarious
almost.
Nonetheless. Applause. Okay, here we go. Sweet. Say, I'm drawing a blank. Tell the crew I said hi. Okay. Hi, he says. And that there better be a great big Tony rant when I listen to it.
Great. I think you got one. Well, not really a great big long rant, but come on. Pokemon? Fuckers. Goddamn Kansas.
Goddamn Kansas. Okay, here's his question. I recently got an issue of Official Xbox Magazine, and I really found myself enjoying it.
Yay!
Although I didn't find the reviews all too fancy, it felt good to have a gaming magazine in my hands for the first time in nearly 10 years, you know,
Yay!
Back when Tips and Tricks was the shit. With that said, we all know that these magazines are being overshadowed in nearly every way imaginable by gaming websites such as GameSpot and even TryGames. Dot.
Bah! Oh, sorry. That was my cue.
Exactly. No, actually, you read it exactly as he typed it out. He said TryGames dot, 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 net. That leads to my question. How long until you believe that gaming magazines will be non-existent? Do you find them to be useful anymore? Also, what's the last game mag you received and did you like it? It's a good question. What are your thoughts?
Well,
and also,
game.
By the way, before you can, before you go on, sure. We will read this question again next week because I want to get the other two guys' opinions on it. But go ahead.
Yeah. I got Game Informed.
Uh-huh.
And I it's a little too busy. That's my only complaint about that magazine. It, you know, things are cluttered. You know, the articles are like, you know, small articles here, you know, big. And it's pretty thick, you know. But for the most part, one, I like how they either praise or bash things, so there's truthfulness, you know, to their reporting. Uh-huh. So that's one. Two, it is humorous when they really do get into bashing. Obviously, I like bashing. So
really,
yeah, one could never tell. I just like to be informed about you know, a lot of things that are going on.
It's Name Informer.
Name Informer. So yeah, I have that and. Will it go the way of the Dodo? Well, that all depends on how many people have online access. And unfortunately, there's still people out there who don't have online access.
Right.
If everybody did have online access, everything would be going the way of the Dodo.
Right.
You know? Pretty much. Well, there's a lot of mediums that wouldn't have any need to have written magazines or, you know, periodical. We could just get it on the net.
Right, right.
So, no, it's not going to go in.
This is something that I'd have to defer to Ethan about because he probably has better numbers. There's a discussion that was going on between him and other guys at work with regards to movies and whether or not Blockbuster retail stores will still be around in 10 years. Mm. He says no because he thinks that digital distribution of movies will gain steam by the time 10 years passes.
Right.
And I disagree with him on the time, but I agree with him on the concept. I think it's going to be 15 years. My sister actually thought it would be sooner. Now, how this relates to magazines? I don't know. I mean, I need to have numbers on how magazines are doing in this current day and age. Because even after the advent of television, you know, TV news broadcasts and stuff, people still buy Newsweek. They still buy the newspaper.
Oh, no.
So
totally
I
understood.
Honestly don't know how things are doing. With regards to game magazines, I just don't know. This is not something that I want to say anything about before I get educated on it, but it's a very interesting question. I wouldn't be surprised if magazines, you know, died in a couple of years. I would not be surprised either, though, if after they died, after another few years, they said, hey, wait a second, we're missing something. People want magazines, and they bring it back. I have this idea of the public, of the masses, and this is not going to be a slam on them. I have an idea of the masses that there are some things that they're just used to and that they don't necessarily want to change. Now, I don't know for sure. People thought that people thought that long distance service would last longer than it did, and the cell phone companies totally cut that off. Mm-hmm. Okay, Slunk says, Happy Easter!
Thank God he's more articulate in his question.
So yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think I think there's a great market for these online venues to supplement a downloadable, at least a downloadable newsletter or something that people could read while they're in the bathroom. That's the one thing people like to read shit in the bathroom. If they're not playing their Nintendo DS or the PSP in the bathroom, they're reading something.
Oh, remind me not to touch a DS anymore.
Ooh.
I have a new color. It's brown.
Oh, God.
Brune! But, I don't know. I just feel that you could go either way. I said, magazines are still around to this day and age.
Right.
But cell phones dominate long-distance service.
But they give it free!
Yeah. I don't know. I, like, people still read books. And yet, digital distribution is taking over movies. So it depends on what it is, and quite frankly, I think people still like to read.
Mm-hmm.
I personally know that I like taking a magazine with me. The news is outdated, but they still have a hold on the whole like monthly thing where they're like, okay, look, we're going to publish this in a magazine. We won't put this online until it's published. They
right.
still do that, so they still hold things back for the magazine's sake, which is fine to me because I have something to read on the train that I haven't read already.
Mm-hmm.
I think though that it's I certainly think it might be in trouble because I know Ziff Davis. There are rumors going around that Ziff Davis, which owns 1UP.com, Electronic Gaming Monthly, Computer Gaming World, and PC Magazine, they're in some financial trouble somewhat, I think. So I don't know. And the official PlayStation Magazine, OPM, went the way of the dodo because Sony decided that they were going to put all their demos online, and the demos were the one thing that really enticed people to buy PlayStation Magazine.
Right.
And if that's gone, what do they have? So what does that say for everything else? If people have to be enticed to buy a magazine for demos or something like that, what does the future hold for the rest of the magazine? So honestly, I don't know. We'll definitely answer this again next week.
Uh-huh.
I got $10 and I need to know what to spend it on, he says. Slunk said. What do you think Slunk should spend his $10 on?
No wet dog food.
Tony says, no wet dog food. Spend it on a hooker? Or are you too young for that?
Nah.
He's too young for that.
You'll just get a toothless BJ for that.
Ew.
Sounds like someone's got experience.
Nah, I've just been to Ethan's house.
He says too late. Okay. So as far as which gaming magazines I like, I subscribe to PC Gamer. I'm actually going to stop subscription to them if Games for Windows magazine is good. Because PC Gamer has just gone downhill. I don't. They gave Jaws a 70%.
Jaws.
For
which system?
For PC. When that looks like a clearly a 15 out of 100 game.
Mm.
The game looks terrible. And I think I even played it at a demo kiosk, and I was like, "What is this? It's like Grand Theft Auto Shark." But shitty, okay?
Boom.
And they just have no conception of, like, fucking reality, okay? And
they
were pressured to give it a 70%. And I listened to their I used to listen to their podcast religiously until they started getting all high and mighty about, like, you know, PCs versus consoles. And I'm like, I know it's a PC magazine, but I don't buy a PC magazine to hear all about how they hate consoles and think they're stupid. I buy a PC magazine to hear about PCs.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to PC podcasts to listen to PC stuff, not about, oh, yeah, well, you know, Wii's, you know, so stupid and, like, computers are going to have a peripheral like that in 2 months. Where is that peripheral? Where is it? Okay, you know, and then, like, Dan Stapleton, I'm calling him out, Dan fucking Stapleton, idiot, was saying some random stupid shit about, like, there's no inherent advantage to playing something like Lego Star Wars with a gamepad. It plays just as fine with a mouse and keyboard. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. You're blind, you're jaded, you don't know anything, you're just biased against consoles, and you just don't want to have anything to do with them, you don't want to admit that they do anything right. Now, this is coming from me, someone who has said, if you gave me a choice, you know, between a non-Nintendo console and a PC, I'd take a PC every single time. And it's like only because I really like Zelda and Mario and Metroid that I would take the Nintendo console, and even then, it's a really hard choice. I love building PCs. I love tinkering with them, and I love seeing the hottest technology, but I absolutely will not sit there and bash consoles just because, like, oh, they're consoles, and, like, seriously, I think these guys have a problem whether it's, like, oh, the consoles are taking up so much of the market that PC gaming is, like, you know, kind of a small niche market now, and they're like, oh, you know, they have this complex where they have to diss on consoles. It's really stupid, and it's really immature, and they really just need
and
to...
And they're not being truthfully informative.
Yeah,
they're
not
just...
at all. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's all...
biased.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, yeah, it's all in good fun. Well, you know what? It's not fun. It's annoying. And it's just really stupid. And they're like, oh, yeah, I don't want to do this and stuff, blah, blah, blah. Gamepad is stupid, you know, yes, a mouse and keyboard is great for a first-person shooter. It is not great for a basketball game. I don't know. They just really lost my respect, and I'm going to be canceling my subscription to PC Gamer magazine really soon.
Yay!
On the other hand, I do enjoy Electronic Gaming Monthly. Mm-hmm. I used to hate all magazines. I thought they were all pieces of shit. And nowadays, for the most part, they kind of are.
Mm-hmm.
As far as reviews are concerned, I still don't agree with EGM reviews at all. I don't agree with any reviews at all, matter of fact.
Really?
Not necessarily like numbers or text, but a combination of both. Like sometimes they'll give a score that I agree with, but for a stupid reason.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And sometimes they'll give a good review, but totally not make the right score for it. And I'm just like, you're professionals. You should know how to do this. But anyways, the reason why I like EGM is because they have been like kind of revamping themselves to basically do hard-hitting journalism. Hard-hitting games journalism. They will say their opinions and they will back them up with good facts. They will interview people and not hold back. They won't totally treat them like jerks, but they won't hold back. They'll say, look, these are concerns that people have, and we need to hear about them, and not just sugarcoat and be like, oh, how awesome is your stuff? Really awesome. We were slightly worried about this. How are you going to fix it? No, they're like, okay, look. Sony did this wrong, okay, and how are you going, like, you know, the customers are mad. What do you have to say about it? Oh, you know, when they were talking about the Xbox 360 when it first came out, hey, you guys are short in supply, people can't find them anywhere, where did you go wrong? And then it's up to the Reddit representative to say, oh, we didn't do anything wrong, or yes, we did do something wrong. But they come out and they say, look, this is what we do, this is journalism. This is how you get answers. They get answers. And actually, that's something that I can't really say for Game Informer, in terms of, like, they're very chummy, and I don't think that doesn't have, I don't think it's unrelated to the fact that they are owned by GameStop.
Nice.
GameStop owns Game Informer magazine, and it's right in the fine print somewhere in the opening page or the last page. It is a GameStop entity, and while you can always say that, yeah, they probably, you know, are going to, you know, separate the two because, you know, it's ethical journalism and they don't control anything. Give me a break. I'm sure that they have some control over it. I'm sure that. Okay, they gave Red Steel a 7.5, which is a good score.
Okay.
You don't think that GameStop thought that Red Steel would sell like hotcakes? And that they were like, hey, guys, don't stop the sales of this thing. Kind of, you know, push it up.
Yeah.
You know? And then they gave Elite Beat Agents a 6.5, and they were like, the touchscreen is not ideal for a rhythm game with a touchscreen. And I'm like, anybody who's played that game knows that it's a perfect match, unless they really suck at the game. And what that tells me is that GameStop didn't think it'll sell too well, and it didn't sell too well. So they're like, you know, just make, you know, whatever. We don't want to worry about this. So just, you know, now this is me being all conspiratorial, and this is probably not true. But you can see where the holes are, and you can see where the potential for that type of thing to be. And any magazine that gives Elite Beat Agents with a 6.5 with the excuse that they couldn't really get it, is a magazine that I don't believe in. The only reason why I have it is because they forced it on me with my EB Edge card.
Come on. Go.
They basically forced it on me.
Right.
So, you know, I get it now.
Right.
But I don't ever trust them, and I think I don't trust it at all. All
right.
Game Enforcer. And here's what Slunk says. Too bad you couldn't invite me into the podcast and that I could be a special guest. Of course, I'd probably make things stupid. I'm the only one on my friends list who beat Jordan in Guitar Hero. You should fix that. I cannot beat 56% of that goddamn song. You are on your own. Own. And I spelled own O-W-N-T-G.
Okay.
Shut up.
How old is he?
17, I believe.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We can't find it.
here's one more question from Peter Panda. Cool. We got a new I know him from GameSpot.
Oh, okay.
Do you have any idea what's going on with the Guitar Hero 80s edition?
Ooh.
I was even starting to think about growing a shiny new mullet for the occasion. Pete, I think it's coming. I haven't heard anything about it though. I would be surprised if they didn't do it. It's something that if they were talking about it, I'm sure Neversoft and Activision would be kind of dumb to not do it. But, you know, I haven't heard about it. Maybe they've canceled it in favor of something else. But if you have, like, a link, definitely send it our way. I want to read more about it to see if they've actually done something with it.
Peter,
and finally,
I'm sorry. Listen, Pete, are you really looking forward to playing along with Poison and Whitesnake? All those other great 80s bands? You answer next.
Hey, there might be some good shit to play. I mean, like, here's the thing again, is that, like, the reason why I have fun with it is because it's a good game.
Right.
But I realize that a lot of people don't like certain types of music. And, like, I know you had issues with some of the tracks in the game. So it wouldn't be fun for you. But, like, I generally don't listen to the genre at all.
Right. So with you, it's more about the game. Yeah.
Right. And he is goading me to beat Jordan, and I can't. Slunk, stop! I can't beat the thing! So I think that's about it. Everybody, don't forget that we do have a Pirates versus Ninjas contest going on. Peter Panda just did submit an entry, so that brings us up to 12.
Sweet!
Someone else had submitted their entry before. Wait! I have one more question for the mailbag. I'm sorry. This comes from my friend SonicBoom713, who I knew back from my Nintendo DS forum days. He asks a question about the Wii, which is very relevant to the conversation that we just had on it a couple of minutes ago, or maybe half an hour ago, or maybe 45 minutes ago, or maybe an hour ago. Sonic Boom asks, and this is a slow intertron, come on, come on, come on, come on. This is very slow. I'm sorry, folks. GameSpot is slow. Blame GameSpot. Okay. SonicBoo713, having a Wii for almost 2 months now, I can honestly say that it's a marvel of gaming ingenuity, and I'll never regret picking it up. However, despite the great gameplay mechanics of some of the games have, such as Wii Sports and WarioWare, the graphics really don't stand up well with the other two systems. Is this just because of other companies haven't gotten the grasp of programming on the Wii yet, or am I doomed to be playing a GameCube on a Starbucks high with a crazy control scheme for the next 3 years? Let a brother know.
For now, yes.
For now, yeah. But I, from a technical standpoint, well, here's the thing. We haven't seen anything that proves the power of this console.
Right.
But just from conjecture and from the fact that the thing is supposedly twice as fast as the GameCube in terms of processor performance. And now that's not everything.
Mm-hmm.
Processor performance is not everything. You have to have also some custom built, like, I don't want to get into it.
Right.
But there are more things than just processor speed.
Mm-hmm.
And however, this could still do more than what we're seeing. It definitely can. I'm sure of it. The problem is that developers are mistreating the console. They basically see that it's just like a GameCube, and they can basically swap over old code, or it's very, very easy to program something with GameCube-level graphics in this day and age because they're so used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the GameCube was also very easy to program for. So they just do it, and they throw stuff out there. And it's like they don't have incentive to sit there and improve the graphics because they know that people who have Wii are going to gobble up their game because they... Like, a lot of the market, besides people like you and me, Tony, and like you, Sonic Boom, is that they're kids or, you know, new gamers or whatever, and, like, they see Manhunt, and they're like, oh, I didn't get this on GameCube,
mm-hmm.
now I can have it. So they don't care how it looks. And so people, again, don't have incentive to make it look better. And, I mean, case in point, the guy from Factor 5, who was the one who programmed all the Star Wars games for Wii, for GameCube,
mm-hmm.
Factor 5, the one that did Rogue Squadron and Rogue Leader, they were doing crazy stuff when the GameCube first came out. And so he's saying, he in an interview with IGN, which we read a couple of episodes ago,
mm-hmm.
he was like, hey, I don't know what these developers are doing. Like we were doing great stuff that, you know, looks okay now, but we were doing great stuff at the beginning of the GameCube's life cycle, and they still haven't even done that on Wii.
Yeah.
What are they doing? They're wasting their time. I don't understand why they can't develop for this thing, because we did it so easily, and this thing is capable of great things. You know, and of course it's not capable of Xbox 360
mm-hmm.
stuff, but he does say that it's better than a GameCube, and it is capable of better. I mean, I saw evidence of some interesting stuff, like, I wouldn't say Twilight Princess because it's identical on GameCube,
mm-hmm.
but first of all, if a system is twice as fast as its predecessor, how good do you think twice as fast machine is going to treat Resident Evil 4, which already looked fantastic?
Well, maybe not at all. Maybe not at
no.
all. Maybe it's
no,
just a direct port.
No, I'm saying.
Oh,
what I'm saying is, if something like the GameCube can put out something as good looking as Resident Evil 4,
yeah, sure.
How good do you think something twice as fast could put out? That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry to be unclear, but yeah. So
right. Yeah.
I mean,
no. It's gonna. It should look spotless. I mean.
And my whole problem is. Have you seen a game on Wii besides Zelda that looks as good as Resident Evil 4?
Mm,
not even.
No.
Not even. Okay? There are no games that look as good as Resident Evil 4, which is one of the later games in the last generation. Don't you think that they would have figured out how to make something even better nowadays?
Mm-hmm.
But no, they of course they have, but they don't want to spend the time on it. Also, I was playing Red Steel, and while most of the game is kind of shitty, I mean, there are some areas that look absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's this one dojo area that has really, really sharp ground textures, and I mean, I say that specifically because Zelda has really horrible ground textures. Everything else looks great, but the ground textures look bad. Mm-hmm. You know, it has really, really sharp ground textures, and it has nice foliage, and it has nice lighting effects, and, you know, sunlight coming through the windows and stuff. And when you enter the dojo, there's like this blurred, you know, the glass that mm-hmm. you use for shower doors, the ones that blur out the image.
Right.
So they had that kind of glass, and you turn to the right, and you see a dojo, and people are doing, like, practicing karate in there, and the glass is refracting and reflecting everything in different directions because that's the way the glass is, and it looks really nice. Mm-hmm. And it's evidence there that it can do something that looks good, but it's just not. Mm-hmm. The rest of the game, of course, looks like crap. So it's like, it can do it, and I know, and if you've seen Super Mario Galaxy,
yeah. It
does look better than a GameCube game.
Well, I saw the initial ones, and that looked really, really crap. Because it had, like, the white borders around the character and stuff like that. I think that was, like, that was a while ago. That was, like, maybe half.
Really? The only white borders I saw was from the lighting effects.
No.
That should have been there.
Yeah, it was around the characters. I think that was, like, preliminary programming or something. But they were They were showing off how to use the Wii handle with it, how you have to do different things. So I was like, okay, that did... Obviously not showing this for graphics. They're showing this for, you know, controllability. Because they want to focus on that, you know? But let's hope and pray that the whiteboards are gone. And recently I saw a picture and they are gone. So
really? I still see them where they should be. Like, when I saw them the first time, mm-hmm. they were just lighting effects. And they're still there.
No, this was a white border all around. Not a lighting.
No, I'm pretty sure that they were from the lighting. Because, like, there was light sourcing everywhere in the video.
All over the character?
In the E3 video. Yeah, like when he was near, like, something, you know, something bright.
No,
and, you
no,
know,
no, this was all
shining.
The time.
I didn't see that. That I did not see at all.
It was
he looked normal.
Around each of the characters. So, like, if there was an enemy there, he had a white border. I think that was just, like, they didn't
You must have been watching a much earlier build then, because first time I saw it at E3, mm-hmm. it was perfect.
Okay. And the frame rate looked really, really nice, so...
Yeah.
So maybe there's hope for this. Obviously, Metroid Prime is going to probably blow us all away. But after that, where do you go? That brings.
Where
us
do you go? I think you could. I think you can always push something. I mean, basically, Resident Evil 4 and Zelda come at the end of the life cycle when people thought that, like, oh, I don't know, Star Fox was the best you could get, which looked good too. But mm-hmm. it's not going to be. It shouldn't be something that, you know, looks like Scarface does right now, which doesn't look that great. Okay.
Right.
And it shouldn't be that for the next 5 years, but it could be. And it's sad because I know it's all developers, and I know Nintendo's like, you know, oh yeah, you know, graphics aren't that important, but we will still give you a system that makes you say wow. I haven't said wow yet.
Me neither. I've said wow as far as controls
right.
are concerned, but nothing.
No.
Nothing.
It looks fine. If mm-hmm. at the very least, if developers at the very least use Zelda as, like, their bottom line, like, not as their bottom mm-hmm. line, but as their standard. If you don't mm-hmm. get any worse looking than Zelda, that's fine. But people just, oh god, they're really giving this machine a bad reputation, because, mm-hmm. and again, I'll say that Zelda is the same on GameCube. It's not using the Wii hardware at all, but it still looks fine. So as long as you're going to use that as your minimum, then I'm fine with it. You know, I don't mind.
So the draw distance is the same and everything?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. Oh, I thought it was like all Wii. Oh,
nope. Which you know, but at least that gives us hope. What will the next Zelda
right.
look like when they actually sit there and program it for Wii?
Right.
Hopefully it'll look good.
And take their time
yeah.
instead of, like, rush for the launch.
Yeah. So, right. I don't know. Sonic Boom, it's about the developers, and, you know, I'm not going to say that it's not Nintendo's fault for asking them to do a better job and asking them to standardize progressive scan and widescreen, which they aren't doing.
Nope.
But, like... Sometimes developers just say, let's make a quick buck, let's throw this thing on there, and people won't care. And the sad fact is that the masses don't care. So, we might...
Sonic is a great indication of that.
Yeah, actually, the funny thing with Sonic is that as mediocre a game as it... And I sold that game back, by the way, I'm sick of it. It's... I can't even review it now because I haven't finished it, but I can't stand it.
Right.
And that, to be honest with you, though, that was actually a very good-looking game, like, for the Wii. Mm-hmm. Like, it was mm-hmm. it was up there, you know? It could have been... You know, the first game to really look next-gen, but it doesn't quite reach that yet, but it still looks really good. If there's anything I could say about Sonic, it's that it's a really good-looking game, and that's about it. All right, so I think that about wraps it up. We've gone pretty lengthy for just two people.
Yeah.
Take that, Al and
that's
Ethan.
Because the other people are boring.
So, any closing remarks?
No. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
No. Next time, don't nail the next Messiah to the cross. It's terrible. It's awful. Sorry, religious people, but you suck too. Oh, that's even worse.
Good God. Job.
Yeah, why you always get dressed up on Sunday? What about the rest of the days? Tony's religious rant of the day.
Oh, there you go. There you go, Slunks. There's your rant. But everybody, don't forget to enter the Pirates vs. Ninjas contest if you have not already. There's a link right on our website. If you go to trigames.net, TRIGAMES.NET, there's a big fat link right on the front page where the quote would normally be. If you dig us or review us on iTunes, you get an extra chance at winning. Basically, your entry counts for two times. Sweet. And if you do both, it counts three times. Remember, the grand prize, the random drawing prize is a $50 game card, $50 gift card from a game retailer of your choice. And yes, if you live in Australia, we will convert up so that you won't get gypped.
Yay!
And the entry prize, if you enter in your description of why you chose your pirate or ninja, we will read them out and vote on which one is the best description. So make sure that it's well written, and you will get a T-shirt. Don't forget, again, Game Slaves Radio, hosted by Riven on iTunes. You can find that. And
quick question.
Yes.
Jesus, pirate or ninja?
I think he makes pirates and ninjas. Therefore, he is the mother.
Mother?
Mother! But also, we have some new stuff on the site. We have a new contributor. His name is Eric. He goes by JediSkills173 on GameSpot. He has given us video reviews.
Oh, cool.
In high definition. So I want you all to check that out. He has just given us a review on Enchanted Arms for the Xbox 360. The first review he gave us was Alien Hominid from the Xbox Live Arcade. And the reviews are downloadable from his website, or you can stream them from our site. We have links to his videos in the articles that we post them in, and they are high resolution. They look very good, and he's a great reviewer. Give him some downloads. And finally, don't forget, dig us. And use a website. We now have 5 digs. We used to have 15. That is because the website thinks that people are spamming and that they just sign up just to vote for us and then never use the site again. Please dig us. Please. Please, please,
and
please.
Dig somebody else.
And then dig somebody else. Use the site regularly. And review us on iTunes. Go to iTunes. Go to the search box. Type in TRIGAMES.
Net.
Net. For Tony. For Jewboy and for Dreadlock Jamaican, and Al's not Jamaican, but he has dreadlocks, so I'm going to stereotype there. We are out.
Ah! Save Jesus! Is school still out on evolution, President?
Pie. I like cherry pie.